This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Melissa Hammer. We start with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline is brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, and Amity Technology. Southern Minnesota Beet Sugar Cooperative Research Director Mark Bloomquist says the beets are variable across southern Minnesota.
We started our pre-pile on August 26th, and so we're about halfway through our pre-pile period right now. Again, yields are variable, a little bit on the lighter side as you go south and east across our growing area, and our best beets are located mostly along the northern fringe of our growing area. So our sugar contents have been increasing nicely. We started on the low side due to that wet conditions that we had, but as we've dried out, our sugar contents have been increasing nicely over the next couple of weeks. We're hoping for that pattern to continue for us.
With the whole crop planted in April, Bloomquist says farmers were optimistic about the year.
In early May, the rain started falling, and especially as you go south and east across our growing area, we had excessive rains that have hurt the beets in that part of the growing area. The excess moisture kind of continued into, I'd say, early July. The rainfall we received this summer, along with the moderate temperatures, has been conducive for Cercospora leaf spot development. And finally, fungicides have helped hold that down on many fields, but we do have Cercospora starting to show in several fields across the growing area. Recently, we've been fortunate that we've dried out considerably. That has helped the prospects for our crop. The dry weather has certainly been welcomed.
Wolf harvesting owner Craig Wolf is hard at work at Rolette, North Dakota, finishing up the wheat crop. Rain has delayed things a bit.
They just sprayed some off a week ago, so we're hoping by tomorrow it's a winter rain. But we got about 700, 800 acres left of wheat, and I think we're about done. And then I don't know if they plant later than most people. And anyway, so I don't know if we're helping with canola days or what, but then got to get ready to head to South Dakota.
And quality has not been an issue so far.
They had one good crop. You know, the wheat crop's been good for them. Everybody, I haven't heard of any. I heard some places, you know, they were talking about buffers and some diseases, but everything we've done has been really good. Wheat protein's been good, and the test weight's been really good. So, you know, so they want to get the wheat out. Prices are no good, but we got to get it out of the field.
Westlake harvesting owner Alan Westlake says they're finishing up wheat harvest in Garrison and canola in Rolla as long as the weather holds.
Right now we still have a few out in North Dakota, western North Dakota, Garrison. We're down to about a day or so left of wheat, a little bit of canola, and that should wrap it up out there. We do have one left up in Rolla, North Dakota. And that's working on canola with about a day left.
Yields have been good for both wheat and canola, though Westlake says quality has been variable.
Good yields, pretty good on the wheat. You know, I really don't know about the canola. I hadn't been up there. I guess it's all right. The wheat actually in North Dakota is still pretty good. It hasn't been ready for a long time either. In Garrison, it was seeded later because of the rain.
Devil's Lake area has seen a lot of rain over the past couple of days. Rock and Roll agronomy owner Jason Hansen says harvest has come to a grinding halt.
Depends on where you're at. We got rain Friday on the 13th. So that was anywhere from 60/100 to, I believe, there was a 4-inch mark that was recorded at the Endon station in Crary. And then it rained again here Sunday evening into Monday, and I'm hearing anywhere from, I'm probably at Webster, 2 inches of rain, and I've heard as high as 4 to 5 up by York, and more than that up by Olson. So there was a little bit of harvest that went on Sunday on canola ground, but I doubt there's going to be any harvest that's going to happen this week now.
With more rain expected throughout the week, Hansen is not optimistic about harvest picking up anytime soon.
Boy, everything's coming to a standstill. We got canola that's been sprayed, so now it's going to get critical to get on those fields. We're just starting to lose on the non-pod shatter. Things are just opening up because we had a little bit of hail with some of this stuff, and it came down pretty hard. So we're going to be under the time clock now to get some of this canola off, especially this omega-3.
And that's Harvest Hotline. Once again, Harvest Hotline brought to you by Amity Technology, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the North Dakota Mill.
After an excessively wet start to the season, Jesse Olson with J&O Seed in Murdoch, Minnesota, says the crop adapted to the wet season.
A lot of the stuff was put in marginal conditions that were ultra wet and definitely had some effect on our crop up and down and variability throughout everything. So the rest of the summer kind of was above average precip. It did seem like the crop did adapt and adjust a little bit and seemed like it evened out. But just recently now, it's been pretty dry. We just got a nice little shot last night, about a quarter of an inch of rain. So that's going to help some things out a little bit. But the last 2 weeks here have been pretty dry and the crop's been moving pretty fast.
And heat is helping move that crop along.
With this recent September heat we've been getting here, really has been pushing the crop along fast. Just the other day, I was out looking at some pretty nice fields of 106-day and 104-day products, using that as a guideline, just kind of checking, are these products going to make it? A lot of those were only a quarter milk line left before getting the black layer. So fantastic. Really getting kind of pushed along here, but needing it with kind of the cooler, wetter, later planted kind of stuff that was able or that happened because of our weather.
9% of the corn nationwide has been harvested. That's above the 5-year average of 6%. The condition of the corn crop improved 1% to 65% good to excellent. Minnesota corn conditions increased 5%, which was offset by a 5% decline in South Dakota and Indiana. The harvest is complete for 6% of the soybeans. 64% of the U.S. soybean crop is rated good to excellent. That's 12% higher than a year ago. Winter wheat planting is slightly ahead of the schedule at 14%. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burks says technicals continue to drive the grain markets.
We did not follow through from last week's new highs, and we've just seen 2 days here trickle down. We've actually broke through some of the support level of some of these moving averages in the wheat market. Beans seem to be the market that wants to just stay between some of these outlying ranges that we put in. You saw us come up here again, through that last part of August into September, but just see some exhaustion. And I think a lot of this has to do with money flow.
Livestock markets following the stock market.
You go back and look at the last, two months, really, of the livestock. We've made a big push down, and we've just set and chopped, and we're back up to the top side of the range. We felt a lot of pressure. Stock market has been something that we've kind of followed along with while we talk about, the stock, the live cattle and what's the economy telling us that these end user, this is the retailer side. What are they going to end up buying? And man, we have been on a tear in the stock market. We've went down, made new lows, and have done nothing but go straight up. And cattle have been tagging along on those coattails a little bit, and I think today's another day of that.
New crop dry edible bean grower bids remain unchanged in the North Harvest region. The USDA's daily report shows bids at $30 a hundredweight for blacks. Dark red and light red kidneys are at $45 a hundredweight, and pintos are at $32 per hundredweight.
The grain markets continue to consolidate in a sideways trading pattern. Paradigm Futures market analyst Kent Beadle expects the sideways pattern to continue.
The corn market is essentially been consolidating a rally that has occurred for the past a few weeks now, since we made our lows. And we did manage here about 2 weeks ago now to move above some technical resistance at the 50-day moving average. And essentially what we've been doing now for about the last week or week and a half is to consolidate slightly above that area.
The livestock markets are firmer.
We do have a Federal Reserve meeting tomorrow, and there seems to be some optimism about a half-point cut. And, of course, a half-point rate cut, puts some additional dollars in consumers' pockets, might mean some lower mortgage rates, et cetera, et cetera. And that's obviously fairly good for protein demand. Some of the correction in cattle particularly has been worries about the consumer, and so we're trying to gain a little bit of that back right now.
Minnesota exports topped $7 billion in the second quarter. That's a 17% increase over the same time period as last year. Sales of Minnesota goods to Canada and Mexico increased by 40% each.
North Dakota Farm Bureau and the North Dakota Farmers Union taking opposite sides on Measure 4. It's a ballot measure in the general election on November 5th. The North Dakota Farm Bureau is in favor of passing measure which would eliminate property taxes based on assessed value. The North Dakota Farmers Union supports property tax relief, but not eliminating them altogether. The state is estimating eliminating the property taxes would cause a loss of $3.15 billion in revenue for the biennium.
Members of the North American Equipment Dealers Association and the Northeast Equipment Dealers Association have approved a merger deal joining the two equipment dealer associations. A press release says it is expected that the merger will be finalized sometime in October.
A well-known agricultural economist is the new executive head of Terrain's team of ag economists and analysts. Most recently, John Newton was the chief economist for the Senate Agriculture Committee Republican Caucus. Before coming to Capitol Hill, Newton was chief economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation and National Milk Producers Federation. Newton succeeds Don Close, who launched Terrain in 2022. Close will remain with Terrain and focus on cattle and beef analysis. Terrain provides economic analysis for Ag Country Farm Credit Services, American Ag Credit, Farm Credit Services of America, and Frontier Farm Credit. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Rail transportation has not increased as much as other modes of transportation in recent years. National Grain and Feed Association President and CEO Michael Seifert says rail transportation is vital for marketing commodities globally.
Decrease in growth obviously impacts from an export perspective. And I think the competitiveness of that, as I mentioned, it's becoming a much more competitive global market for U.S. producers. And so that additional growth is needed to keep us efficient and to keep us competitive in the export markets. I would also say, we had some service challenges a couple of years ago, and obviously that impacted the poultry and the livestock side of the feeding. I think the other question coming on is that, there's significant biofuels incentives that the federal government has put in place or that we're looking at putting in place.
The increase in biofuels incentives and new markets for commodities is dependent on having good rail infrastructure in place.
In many of those instances, those facilities are being built close to the production, and in the initial commodities for processing, some of that will come in by truck because of the proximity. But the finished product, the biodiesel, the aviation fuel, the soy crush, ethanol, that's in many instances, that's going to need to move multiple distances in bulk. And where we are in terms of the growth and where we are in terms of capacity is very much going to impact, I think, where the top line may be for some of those plants and some of those facilities in that industry, because they're going to need that capacity and that growth to be able to move that finished product.
Checking the numbers for you, December wheat Minneapolis up 2.5 cents, 6.22 1/4. December wheat at 5.76, down 2.5 cents. Kansas City's hard red winter wheat December contract down 0.25 cents, 5.80 1/4. December corn up 1.25 cents at 4.12 even. November soybeans down 0.25 cents, 10.04 1/4. January, new contract down 0.5 cents, 10.23. In Winnipeg, November canola is up $5.20 per metric ton at $569.90 Canadian. October live cattle up $1.52, $178.75. October feeders up $1.75 to $240.72. And October lean hogs is up $1.47 at $81.40. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.